Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's going to take a lot of time for everybody to get on the same page.
They've also added Joshua Townsend to the staff. He was last a video coordinator, correct, for the South Bay Lakers, which is the Lakers G League team. I guess it's a move, obviously, adding more youth to the staff. But I was a little surprised because usually guys that are on that NBA video track, which is what Spoelstra did, which a lot of guys, like, it's a path to becoming, honestly, I think it's how Taylor Jenkins got his break. I think he was originally a video guy with the Spurs as an intern, and then he worked his way to the G League. But I was thinking about it in these terms. Is this like a move? Like, is this for more in-season scouting, or is this more of like kind of building a personnel department?
That's a good question. I mean, I that's something that honestly we'll probably ask Penny tomorrow when we talk to him on Beale Street. He's sort of gone. That this is sort of the profile of people that he's gone after before. He likes people with ties to the NBA. His strength coach was a strength coach for a long time in the NBA, including in Portland. Todd Forcier. He had a guy, I can't remember, I think it's Hunter Thorne, who worked at Memphis, I think, for one or maybe two seasons. He had spent time with the Nuggets. Cody Coppert had G League experience when he came here as an assistant, and now he's a head coach in the G League. I'm not sure how this is going to, you know, exactly what Penny is planning to do with Josh Townsend. He was with the South Bay Lakers, but he was a grad assistant at Penn State for 2 years before that. As a player, he was a heck of a rebounder at Cuts, at a Division II school in Pennsylvania, Cutstown. So it seems like another good hire.
All right, Munns, we appreciate you.
All right, thanks, Joe.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. When we come back, let's get into the list. We got some news about perhaps the future of the Florida job. We've also got player rankings. We've got the Ringer has released their player rankings. John Hollinger has released his top 10 from the NBA. And we've also got some college football ratings. I want to get into that because that's released a lot of takes. Also, we have a retirement and a veteran re-signing or signing somewhere else. We'll tell you all about it when we come back during hour number two during the list. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called The List. George, fired up. NBA preseason player rankings. All right, Coach. We got John Hollinger, former Grizzlies front office exec, with his top 10 released today. We've also got the Ringer's top 100. Let's see the overlap. Let's start with Hollinger. Hollinger at number one has Nikola Jokic. At number two, he has SGA. At number three, he has Giannis. Four, he has Luka. Five, he has Wembanyama. Six, Anthony Edwards. Seven, Evan Mobley. Eight, Jalen Williams of the Thunder. Jalen, no why. Nine, Jalen Brunson. 10, Donovan Mitchell. The Ringer's top 10 as follows. if it would actually pull up, because I thought I had pulled it up before the show. Number one, Nikola Jokic. Number two, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Three, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Four, Luka Doncic. Five, Anthony Edwards. So I guess that differs from Hollinger, because I think Ant was six. Yeah, Ant was six on Hollinger's, and Ant is five. So they flop Wembanyama and Ant, five and six. Seven, the ringer has Steph Curry. Eight, Donovan Mitchell. Nine, Jalen Brunson. 10, Kevin Durant. Any immediate reactions either way?
I didn't hear you. Maybe I'm hearing. I didn't hear LeBron.
LeBron is 11 in the ringer, and Hollinger only did 1 through 10. He did. I think Hollinger did note, let's see. He had like a category of like still hanging on. Five who are hanging on. Steph. LeBron. Anthony Davis. Durant. Kawhi. And then he also included five for the future. Cade Cunningham, Cooper Flagg, Paolo Banchero, Amen Thompson, and Darren Peterson, who is going to Kansas this year.
Kansas.
Correct.
And
so I guess Cooper, he's the projected number one.
Yeah, he's pretty good there. Yeah, I liked it. I just think I know he put him in still hanging on, but I do think Steph and LeBron is both a top 10 guy. And Durant, I could take out. Whoever put Evan Mobley, I love Evan Mobley, but I'm not sure he's a top 10 player like in October of 2025.
The two that definitely right off the bat felt high was Jalen Williams and Mobley, even though I think they're both good players. Here's what he wrote about. I'll just do it in order. All right, you ready for Steph? Mitchell, my number 10 player over Curry, was a non-starter as an argument as recently as 2 years ago. Entering his age 37 season, however, it's not so easy to project Curry outperforming Mitchell this season. Curry presents some of the same health questions that Mitchell does, but perhaps more strongly. Curry has cleared 65 games in only two of the last six seasons and missed the last four games of the Minnesota playoff series with a hamstring injury. The Warriors are also careful with his minutes within games. Curry also doesn't offer the snap-of-the-finger shot creation ability you see from other guards on the list. What he offsets that with, of course, is that he's the greatest shooter ever by orders of magnitude, and his mere presence coming off of a screen sends defenders scrambling into silliness. The skills shouldn't be heavily impacted by age either, and remains his best argument for cracking the 10 names above, even if he won't match them on raw output. Even at 37, he was the hardest to mission. So basically, he's just saying age impacting minutes, number of games played. That was the differentiator for him.
Yeah, I feel like he also have just to where his argument for making this list, I really feel like he did, instead of making the list, he did give himself a defense by pretty much, it's like making an old folks list, a young folks list, and then I feel like his list, because them two guys you just said, or even three, I think you still today got to put Steph, LeBron, and Durant ahead of his 7 through 10.
Here's what he wrote about LeBron. James making second team All-NBA at the age of 40 was an insane accomplishment. Can he do it again next spring when he'll be 41? It seems unlikely at the moment. Doubting him at any point in the past 22 years has been a great way to look foolish. But James is already set to miss at least the start of the season with the, remind me again, George, how we said it?
Sciatica.
He suffered an MCL sprain in last spring's playoffs, and the team was already exercising caution with his preseason reps before announcing the sciatica issue. Can he even make it to 60 games to become All-NBA eligible? As indestructible as James may seem, he's only done it twice in the last five seasons. So it feels like more of Hollinger's is like ranking the 10 best players that he thinks will be like All-NBA.
Oh, and the most healthy.
Correct.
Well, now that makes sense, because I was going to say, do you even 100%? Now, Donovan Mitchell is a bad boy, but do you 100% put him in front of Kawhi Leonard? But if you think about availability, you do. But if you're just talking straight talent, that's a conversation.
I think there's also a weird question of what is Kawhi right now? Because, like, even last year when he was quote-unquote healthy enough to play, he had the one ridiculous playoff game, but it's still not like, oh, he completely locks down whoever he's guarding, and he's still not... He's obviously a very good scorer, but, like, are you truly terrified? I think it all just depends on the knee.
Yeah, I mean, granted, it's preseason. They was battling the other day. He looked good. He was saying it's his first offseason in a while. He went through a full training camp. He was fully healthy. I think whoever the Clippers knew, he's a big-time guy, defensive guy he is. He said he was plugging him in when he came. He was able to, you know, he know the whole game plan now. So he was thinking, so the way he was talking, like, you know, this would be a good year.
I also think with Kawhi, I'm in the, all right, man, prove it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You've been a part-time player basically for, like, the last 5 years. And then I do also wonder, like, I'm not putting a ton of stock into it, but, like, I do wonder how all the off-court stuff kind of weighs on him. And, like, does that have any impact? I mean, it feels like everyone's trying to do their best to just bury it, but I don't know if it's going away. With Durant, here was what Hollinger wrote. Durant is still one of the most feared scorers in the game, but has only made one All-NBA team in the last half decade and has played more than 62 games once in the last six seasons, which I do think was last year. He's still an elite scorer in a playoff series, but hasn't had an exclamation point impact on a postseason since he was in Brooklyn playing Milwaukee back in 2021. At 37, Durant also doesn't make the impact on defense or as an off-the-dribble creator as he once did. It's particularly notable in transition, where the younger Durant was basically an automatic basket. That said, he's still good enough to be a clear go-to guy for one of the Western Conference's best teams, and if he can stay on the floor for 70 games, he has a chance to put up a top 10 season. I feel like all that's pretty fair.
No, that's fair. And it seemed like, let me ask you this, on the last few rankings, because I know we did one about a month ago, they're not putting in the hurt players, right? Because I'm not seeing Halley in it.
No, I don't think they're including – I think this is
– No Tatum.
I think this is projecting for the season.
Okay.
So, like, okay, who are the guys that would be eligible for awards?
Okay.
So,
even
yeah.
With the top 100 we did a month ago, I didn't see Halley on there. I didn't see Tatum, and I don't think I saw Damian Lillard.
So, did the Ringer include – because I don't see on the Ringer's top 100, I don't see Tatum, and I don't see Haliburton.
Okay.
So I think everybody's just kind of removing them for injury.
For injury. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Where in the top 100, where do he have Ja at?
So Ja cracks the list at 34 and on the Ringer. So Hollinger didn't do a top 100. Ja's at 34, Jaren's at 27.
So the one we did a month ago, Ja was like,
I think 33
and
ESPN's
33 and 31 maybe.
That sounds right.
No, Ja was in front of Jaren on the ESPN.
No.
Mm-mm. He wasn't.
Yeah.
No. Was this the same when the Baines was like 39?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was ESPN's. I think that was like the
That was their like series where they
their
like
composite where like they ask like I don't know 30 scouts or something.
We thought that was ridiculous at the time. But it sounded like people has him as more of a top 35 player right now, right? Or am I tripping?
That seems to be consensus.
I think that's fair. I still think the biggest problem that Ja has is, A, the NBA is the... It feels like in the other two major sports where we talk about players, football and baseball, it feels like you have a longer shelf life if we decide that you're a great. Like, it takes a lot longer for us to knock you down, even if maybe there are signs there. Case in point, like, yes, Rodgers is having a quote-unquote bounce-back year, but Rodgers got a really long benefit of the doubt the last three or four seasons, despite the fact that the actual level of play on the field was not great. But in the NBA, it feels like the number one point of pride in the NBA, if somebody analyzes or critiques or comments on the NBA, is you have to be first on somebody. And so it feels like the byproduct of all that is somebody that misses a little bit of time, if you're out of sight, out of mind for like 6 months, you just get buried because everyone else is trying to promote the guy that they watch and you don't, and you people are wrong. You don't understand how good this guy is. So it tends to create like a lot of variance, like you fluctuate a lot more. I still think for me, I'm totally fine with it because anything that gives Ja a chip on his shoulder, I'm in favor of because I just think that's when he plays his best. Like I really do, and I don't care if that's absurd. I care about wins. The other aspect of it for me, it's like if I'm advising Ja, it's like it's not a reflection of your talent. It's a reflection of availability on the floor. Because that's what actually most of these rankings are. It's like, what will your whole season of production be? And if you tell me, because like that's what I think what's interesting, because when we were talking about, think about if you go back to the rankings when we started the show or the predictions when we started the show. If you tell me the Grizzlies go 51-31, I think Ja makes an all-NBA team. Because I think that that is implying that Ja is going to play at least 65 games. And I believe if Ja plays 65 games, he is a top 15 player in the NBA.
Yeah, and that's basically what I'm saying. I think top 15 is still, I would say out of any player that's rated outside of the top 25 or top 30, he is the one that can easily, and I think everybody know, be in the top 15 if available.
Okay, so let's go through because I think you're right, but let's go through and make sure.
The NBA got a lot of star power.
Also there's like this is another guy that I think kind of falls into the category who I think could have a good year. It's somebody that certainly compares himself to Ja, De'Aaron Fox. He's at 28, but De'Aaron this year, like with Wimby in San Antonio, they've got a lot of talent around him.
I still don't think he can get top 15, all right, though. I think his ceiling is more top 20. I mean, he's a top 20, 25 player at this point, a little older.
Okay. I think about like a year. I think so, because De'Aaron only played 1 year.
In college.
Yeah.
I feel like he's been around longer.
He's definitely been in our conscious longer.
Yeah.
All right, I'm fine with – if you offer me De'Aaron – or Ja, I'm taking Ja.
For sure.
Like, I'm not even doing the homer thing. It's just, that's, like, I'm betting on the upside. For sure. All right. So then we have Garland. Still taking Ja.
What is number Garland?
29.
Really? That's about right.
Jamal Murray. Still taking Ja.
What number is he?
30.
That's about right. He could be a little higher. He could be a little higher if them make a deep run. He could be a little higher.
Is Jamal Murray a Jokic merchant?
I mean, I remember him coming out of high school. I mean, Jamal Murray hooping, but maybe.
I mean, my thing is, I can like a player, but I can also acknowledge, like, I think he's a good player, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. If he's on the Blazers, do we know who he is?
He had some good playoff series, though.
Maybe. Like, for as much gravity as a guy like Jokic has, it helps certainly. I do think Jamal can like at least create his own shot when he needs to, you know.
Because look how Michael Porter kept going down.
Does Jamal have that Porter has? We're in year 10, and that back's starting to to bother him. That always worries me on that one. Trey, I'd still rather have Ja.
What number is Trae Young? 32?
31.
I think he one of them guys that could jump higher. Trae Young actually, people be hard on him.
He's cold.
He gets stuck. Yeah, Trae Young kind of cold now for real.
I just think I don't think he's a winning basketball player. Him and Ja play the same position, and one guy to me noticeably impacts winning more. That's and they true. Both have the same flaw, which is defensive liability.
But Trae Young, I'm not trying to gain more, but Trae Young can. I'm only focusing on Trae Young. Just come in. Trae Young can shoot the ball really good.
I'm with you, but to me, it's like he's not as good with the ball in his hands.
If you look him up, though, Trae Young and James Harden, tricky. Trae Young averaged double digits assists too, though. He's like a.
But I'm talking about like one on one going to the rack. Who would you rather have going to the rack?
Well, that's a different course. I'd rather have Ja anyway. I'm just saying.
Trae Young, Trae and Harden both strike me as knowing how to get assists.
one of those.
Yeah. A little stat padding. It's the quarterback that knows, let's throw a bubble screen about every third play just to make sure we get the completion percentage to the right number. Sabonis at 32. I don't think he has that high of a ceiling.
Yeah.
I think he's a good player. I don't think he just has a super high ceiling. And then this is one that I would entertain as a higher ceiling guy. Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
All right, but I still think I'd rather have Ja. Does anyone have a real problem with that?
But no, I mean, Maxey, it seems like he plays all his games, right?
I'm playing your game of, would I take this guy over Ja?
In the top, to make it in
correct,
the top.
To have, no. I think I'd still
I'd
take
rather
Ja.
Have Ja, yeah.
Like, I'm viewing it as like a bet. All right, Bam, no. Top 15.
People have high, Bam, you know, he makes the USA team and stuff and stuff.
Well, isn't he like a big time Nike guy? And then we don't have a ton of bigs.
Yeah.
And he has a legit skill set that matters in that competition, rebounding.
Yes.
25 Butler. I mean, he's a great player, but I don't think he can, like, at his age, I don't think he's cracking the top 15. Harden.
That could happen.
He's going to be 37. The thing about Harden is he's had so many like playoff flameouts that even like his biggest like ride or die people, like they just can't say anything anymore. It's like, it was kind of like being a Peyton Manning guy when it was like 3 Super Bowls to 1 with Brady to Manning. But now it's like 7-2, and really it's 7-1. Peyton happened to take snaps while the Denver defense was on the field on the other time. Like, Chet.
They love him.
He's at 23. I still think Ja has a better. To me, Chet is always going to kind of have the. Chet's always going to have some haters. Because Chet kind of has the same thing that. The same thing that Edie has when it's that when you watch him get cooked, you can't look away because he's so big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like the whole Thunder are a little higher than they should be, though.
It's almost like they're the defending champions.
I was going to say. Yeah. Title bump.
All right. Pascal is at 21. I don't know. Like top 15 feels like
Top 15 feels like a stretch. He's a very good player.
21 though. Feels like a nice tip of the cap.
Yes.
Like a respecting of what he does. But like that.
I know in one of the lists he was listed as a like potential for the future. Where do they have Cade?
Cade was on that other list.
As like a
that guy that was saying so
Cade on the Ringers at 13.
But Cade pretty big.
I was gonna say Cade's really good and he's durable.
Cade pretty good now.
I love Cade.
You know the thing I hate about this list even more, not trying to add more motivation to Ja, but Ja is top 35 consistently. And it's like 5 good players that they're leaving out. So my thing is he really top 40? Because think about it. Jason Tatum would be on her easily top 15.
Halliburton would definitely be ahead of him.
Halliburton would be top after coming off a finals appearance. And he took all his haters out last year. He would be top 15.
No, I think he might have had – I think you could make the argument he had one of the greatest like stunt on the hater years of all time.
All time. Because you remember, somebody had just said they
well,
did a list.
Like he was the joke of the Olympic team.
Joke of the Olympics.
And, like, and now, granted, there's also a lesson to be learned. He leaned into it. He didn't get all – a lot of NBA guys let the ego get to them, and they get all in their feelings and whatnot. Like, he leaned into the joke, and clearly it motivated him.
Then it was some little fake – you know how they do a survey –
the most overrated player.
Overrated player.
I got a take on that. Him being the most overrated player was overrated. If you actually like did the math, he got like 11 votes. And then it's entirely possible they just sent the survey to the Bucks. And remember the Bucks and then they had like that rivalry? It's like just the Bucks voted for him.
Yeah. Because it wasn't that many people that voted on this. No, but, it was like 50 people.
It was like 90 people.
90.
And, like, he was the, quote-unquote, most overrated with, like, 13% of the vote.
So why they make it such a big deal?
Because it was such an unbelievable headline.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why
You're welcome to the club.
I'm saying my own.
No, welcome to the club. And that was just, like, a narrative. that everyone else run with. I think you're right in that he has the highest variance, because then the only other option, let's see, Mobley's at 16, but I don't.
I mean, you can't step up one and it'd be a
right.
Reward. Or nothing like.
And then the rest are like Jalen Williams, Kawhi, Cade's already, like, they're already up there. So it's like, if we're talking about the guy that, who is the most likely that is in, that's, you know, outside of the top 15 to enter the top 15, I think I'm fine with saying that Ja would be the answer.
I think, is it somebody behind Ja that's real explosive that we, that you feel like, oh, they are kind of low too?
All right, let's see. I'm not as bullish on him, on the team, but I do love this guy. I'm in Thompson.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be good, the two twins.
He could be one. But, like, Derek White, I think Derek is, like, what he is. He's a really good player, but, like, he feels like the world's greatest closer. Like,
Where's Pablo at?
Pablo was, I think, 17.
Okay, so he's already in there.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's in there.
He's ridiculous.
19.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
Banchero's. Stupid.
You already said Cade.
Zubats, no. Wagner, no. Jalen Johnson, no. OG, no. Gordon, no. Barnes, eh. Baines, I mean, I guess you could say, like, if the, like, the root, like, the, this time it's for real that Zion's really healthy and better, okay. He's at 45.
You know, he can always, yeah.
Zion does feel like there's a huge variance there.
Yeah. He looked pretty good last night, I'm not going to lie. He looked pretty good. He had one of those classic him on a breakaway, someone just hits him from across the floor. One-handed 360, just rocked the rim.
God, there are times I'll go back and watch Zion at Duke, and you just, like, realize, like, God, that was electric.
That was unbelievable.
I'm an all-time Coach K hater. And even I was like, this guy's must watch. Like, it was just like, I was all in on it. All right, college football TV ratings. All right, boys, we've got the college football PR machine running hard right now. So we just got the ratings from last week. So the top three games, congratulations to the SEC on ABC. The number one game, Red River, 8.73 million. The number two game last weekend was Alabama-Missouri, 11 a.m. Central Time, 6.99 million. And number three was Georgia-Auburn, the Saturday night game on ABC, 6.69 million. Indiana-Oregon was at number four on CBS at 5.59 million. Ohio State-Illinois, 5.28 million on Fox. And then, of course, the list that has been going around heavy right now, the most watched college football games of the year. Number one, Texas at Ohio State, opening weekend, 16.6 million. Number two, Georgia at Tennessee, 12.6 million. I believe that was week two. Might have been week three. Number three was Coach's Hurricanes hosting Notre Dame, 10.8 million. Four was Alabama at FSU. Five was LSU Clemson. So let me do that math. One, two, three, four of the top five were all Labor Day weekend. Six is Alabama at Georgia. Seven is Michigan at Oklahoma. Eight is Oklahoma at Texas. Nine was Oregon at Penn State. 10 was Florida at LSU. This was the one, though, that I had to kind of smirk at because I don't know how many people are into the weeds. Shannon Terry, who runs On Three now, but he's like a, like he started Rivals, or first I think he started Scout.com, sold that, then started Rivals, sold that, then started 24/7, mm-hmm. sold that. Like, so Shannon tweeted out, for context, at this point last year, college football only had one game at more than 10 million viewers versus six this year. College football is thriving. And, of course, this is a rah-rah, yay, yay, yay. I want to be very clear. College football is clearly the number two sport in the country. The NFL is number one. College football is two. Every metric out there shows it. Everybody, we're juicing the ratings this year. I don't know if people know this. The college football ratings are up this year because Nielsen has adopted the NFL schedule, or the NFL complained forever. Our ratings are even bigger than they really are because we have people watching in bars. So Nielsen was forced to create something called the out-of-home and data markets, which basically means they come up with a multiplier. I'm not so sure. It's still clearly the number two sport. I'm not sure there's that many more people watching this year than last year, because there was a heck of a lot of people watching last year. It's just the numbers are juiced. And so just remember that is definitely a tell your story out there. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little NFL with Coach. We'll discuss. We've got a mock draft, and we've also got some Week 7 scuttlebutt from ESPN. I want to discuss that as well. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Boys, over at ESPN, we got our NFL Week 7 latest buzz, questions, news, and fantasy tips. All right, boys, should we be worried about the Eagles' offense? And are the Eagles worried about it? So the two reporters that are responding are Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler. For Graziano's answer, I lean yes on both, with the caveat that they're 4-2 and in a position to be able to fix their problems in time. But there are problems, and they do need to be fixed. It's easy to default to, oh, there's locker room tension, but I really have never had the sense the Eagles players have any personal issues with one another. They all want to be better, and if there's a tension, it's because of two straight losses and the urgency they feel to get around it, or get it turned around. Jeremy Fowler says that I was at the Giants game on Thursday night and definitely sensed concern. One player told me that this was starting to feel like the 2023 meltdown all over again. That was back when Philly lost 5 of the last 6. Oh my God, if I could only turn back time. And the team needs to use this week to figure things out to avoid a full-blown repeat. Right tackle Lane Johnson, whose word carries weight, told reporters that the offense felt predictable. The issue is pretty clear. The Eagles aren't dominating in the running game the way they did a year ago. All right, I'd like to insert I watch way too much football opinion. God, we're dumb. We literally did this entire act last year. They were 2-2, and remember, Sirianni's getting fired, everything. I think we've forgotten that the NFL's a really long season, and you can't basically go all out all 17 games. I still think they're really good. And I wish it weren't so. I still think they're really good.
I'm with you. I think the Eagles going to always have a look woes on offense, although they have some pretty good players. I know the running back not getting off as much yet this year.
What if he's on load management?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with it. AJ going to be AJ sometime.
Listen, it's baked into the models.
Receiver.
AJ's a diva.
I would almost ask you a question, Jeffrey, right, or Jeffrey and George. It's happening to – now, maybe y'all already talked about this week, knowing Jeffrey y'all have. But who are you more concerned about? Because to me, them and the Bills are going out the same – I'm sure y'all probably already talked about
it. No, we actually haven't. So, because I've been thinking about it.
Because did they both start off 4-0? I'm tripping.
Correct. No, both 4-0, and they both lost 0-2, yeah, and they both looked like they're concerning type losses. I am more – quote unquote concerned with the Bills because the only win that they have that is quote unquote decent is the Ravens, who are 1-6, 1-5.
Mm-hmm.
Are they 1-6? I think they're 1-6 now with a bye, right? This is their bye week.
Checking. I'm pretty sure that's
we're
right.
On.
So that's their best win?
Are 1-5.
1-5.
Yep.
So that's the Bills' best win. The thing with the Bills, though, I think they're all doing the same thing. Those are two teams that know they're entirely being judged based upon whether or not they win a title this year. And if you saw, Cook, I think, had like, Cook only played 54% of the snaps for the Bills. Like they've had defensive injuries, whatnot. I just think like they're in the, hey man, you can't win the title in October. And like it's why I would have loved to have celebrated and act like, oh, the Giants will never lose to the Eagles ever again. But when you see Jalen Carter in street clothes, you kind of know that's not a real win. Like Jalen Carter's got to be on the field for it to count.
Yeah, Jeffrey, I'm going to get this to you because, man, you went back and forth on text on this. You should be extremely happy with that win. It was a real win. This would make it more
Thursday night, barely.
Yeah, but
it was fun. I will say this: I didn't. I enjoyed it.
Well, first of all, Jalen Carter on there or not? The only concern I am more concerned with the Bills. Now Jalen Carter is great, right? You take Michael Parsons from the Cowboys. You say, they don't.
We did, and by the way, that's one of the worst defenses in the league. So yeah. To your point. You made it.
Well, no, I wasn't trying to help my point. I was trying to create another point. There are times you do that. The Eagles defense still, because the Eagles were known for 6, 7, 8 good players. It looked at it kind of bad against y'all. I would have been straight if the offense just had wolves. But it was times the Eagle defense looked bad.
Yeah, but without Jalen, where Jackson Dart changes with the Giants is you have to account for him in the run game. So everybody's got to go single high safety. And so because of that, if you have Jalen Carter, we can't really get the run game going. He just kind of stops it. But we were able to get the run game going, and then on top of that, then it becomes a lot of one-on-one throws that are not super complicated.
But maybe I'm naive. The Eagles once had corners that could stop you one-on-one to a certain extent.
It was a little concerning to see they could not cover little Jordan Humphreys.
Yeah, I'm going to say. No,
who was literally on the practice squad last week.
To that point, in that game, their best cover corner got hurt.
Okay. Now that
Mitchell, you know, how much of that game did he play? What, like a quarter and change?
Yeah, I mean, he got hurt, I feel like, because then there was another narrative about the turf, more MetLife turf.
Guys, these are the Giants, though. There have been teams that have been beating them with half a roster, okay? And Eagles should have been one of them.
The Saints were at full strength, and we turned it over 5 times.
Yeah. So, and I would say this. Pronounce the last name of y'all running back.
Scataboo. It doesn't look like it, but it's Scataboo.
Scataboo.
Yes.
I'm a prisoner of the moment. I don't care who was there.
You know who
that
he is,
day,
right?
They wouldn't stop Scatterboo.
You know who he is,
He's
right?
He's the guy, hold on, let me put it in my head. Is that Iowa State? No, hold on, I'm close.
Beat Iowa State.
Hold on. He's
beat
the Big
Iowa
12.
State.
He's
yes.
The Big, hold on. He is Arizona State.
Yes.
Okay.
He's the guy
I
that
knew
would
the
ever,
colors.
You would watch him and you're like, oh, this guy's awesome.
I knew the colors.
Yes. Well, they played Iowa State. Honestly, the first time people watched him was the Iowa State Big 12 title game.
Okay.
And he was like, he had 200 yards rushing. Remember, he threw up on the sideline. He also threw a touchdown pass. Like, you were watching, you're like, this is a one-man wrecking crew.
I am on the record to say that even with their best defensive line, they wouldn't have stopped him on that day. I am that determined with Scatterboo. I do not think he was determined that day.
The Saints did.
I think from now moving
DeMario
forward.
DeMario Davis had some words for him.
Well, he also fumbled three times. So
he did?
Yeah, not against the Eagles.
Oh, okay.
He also changed his gloves. He did my favorite move. It's still my favorite thing I've seen this year. When Jeremiah Smith in the Texas game to start the year dropped two passes on the first two drives, he went and he changed gloves because that was the problem.
Yeah, like kids take off their shirts.
Yeah, so I was in on it. That's a receiver.
I'm going to say this, Jeff. Maybe I don't keep up with as much as you. I think you taking this too easy. I think that's one of y'all best performances in maybe years.
Okay, but it's also the
and it's against the defending champs and the
Are you trying to make your Rams win feel better? Because the other thing is there's the short week aspect where like nobody's practicing. Yeah, I don't know. My whole thing with the Niners is like the whole question is who's coming back and when?
Yeah.
Oh, we got this question for you. Is Mac Jones noticeably worse than Brock Purdy?
Worse?
Yes.
See, this is where media throws me off at because probably about a week or two ago, we won some big game and people were saying
it was the Rams game.
It was the Rams game?
Yes. That's why I think you're trying to pump up the Giants because that's another weird Thursday night like result. Like, oh, no, this is real. No, it wasn't.
So what happens, because I'd be a little out the loop. Games on Thursday don't count as much as summer. They're not considered
They're weird. It's like when you get the, how did that happen? More times than not, it happens on Thursday night football because everybody's on short rest. It's like in the middle of the season where everyone's trying to figure out, like, do we push it and make this guy play or do we maybe give him the night off? And then, you're going to have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the whole next week. So it's not quote unquote a bye, but it's like trying to steal a bye week. And so everybody doesn't play all their players.
Oh, okay.
It's not preseason, but it has weird results.
Man, but if they're doing that, I know I'm getting deeper. Won't that make the NFL not like the product and try?
Oh, no. That's more money.
No, I know. They get a lot of money for Thursday, right?
Yeah, they don't care about the actual game product.
What if
they just care about whether or not they can sell more live inventory to more people that will give them money.
But the people who give them the money, if they knew that was going on, would that, like, lower them not
wanting
to?
No, because Amazon got, like, 15 million new subscribers. They don't care.
Okay. Okay.
It's where the joke's on us. And this is where the commish would say fans first. And we're like, oh, really? So by giving us worse games that, like, you're putting the fans first or are you just putting owners first? Because I think I know the answer to that one. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, Coach Hurd probably agrees with Craig Carton, who said on his baseball podcast, Toronto suddenly forgot how to hit the baseball, which makes me think they were probably cheating against the Yankees and were stealing the Yankees' signs. I'll go to my grave thinking that. Guys, we have PitchCom now. Like, the whole point of this was...
Got that police scanner on it. That's what they got.
Tapping into it?
It's something they did to the Yankees, man.
All right, Coach. It's always good having you in here.
Yes, sir.
He is Coach Hurd. If you missed anything, he'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.